Hello and welcome to our weekly reflections on Sunday's liturgy. Today we have before us the second Sunday of Lent. A movie called Mask is based on a true story of a 16-year-old boy named Rocky Dennis. He has a rare disease that causes his skull and the bones in his face to grow larger than they should. As a result, Rocky's face is terribly misshapen and disfigured. His grotesque appearance causes some people to shy away from him and others to snicker and laugh at him. Through it all, Rocky never pities himself, nor does he give way to anger. He feels bad about his appearance, but he accepts it as a part of life. One day, Rocky and some of his friends visit an amusement park. They go into a house of mirrors and begin to laugh at how distorted their bodies and faces look. Suddenly, Rocky sees something that startles him. One mirror distorts his misshapen face in such a way that it appears normal, even strikingly handsome. For the first time, Rocky's friends see him in a whole new way. They see from the outside what he is on the inside, a truly beautiful person. Something like this happens to Jesus in today's gospel. During his transfiguration, Jesus' disciples saw him in a whole new way. For the first time, they saw from the outside what he is on the inside, the glorious, beautiful Son of God. The readings of the second Sunday of Lent highlight Jesus' identity as God's beloved Son and confront us with the mystery of his death on the cross. Hence, the main theme of today's readings is an invitation as well as a challenge to us to do what Abraham did, put our faith in the loving promises of the merciful God who sent his Son to die for us and to transform our lives by renewing them during Lent. The first reading describes the transforming of a pagan patriarch into a believer in the one God, the transforming of his name from Abram to Abraham, and God's making of his first covenant with man through Abraham and his descendants as a reward for Abraham's obedience to God. In the second reading, St. Paul argues that it is not observance of the Mosaic law and circumcision that transforms people into Christians, and hence the Gentiles need not become Jews to become Christians. In the Transfiguration account in today's Gospel, Jesus is revealed as a glorious figure superior to Moses and Elijah who appear with him. He is identified by the heavenly voice as the Son of God. Thus, the transfiguration experience is a Christophany, that is, manifestation or revelation of who Jesus really is. The primary purpose of Jesus' transfiguration was to allow him to consult his heavenly Father in order to ascertain his plan for his Son's suffering, death, and resurrection. The secondary aim was to make his chosen disciples aware of his divine glory so that they might discard their worldly ambitions and dreams of a conquering political Messiah and might be strengthened in the times of trial. Further, the transfiguration enabled Jesus to present himself to the apostles as Israel's Redeemer, as had already been foretold by the prophets. The transfiguration established Jesus' glorious identity as the beloved Son of God and placed his divine sonship in the context of Jewish expectations about the kingdom and the resurrection. Moses and Elijah are seen with Jesus at the transfiguration because both of them had experienced the Lord in all his glory. Moses had met the Lord in the burning bush at Mount Horeb. The transfiguration scene closely resembles God's revelation to Moses, who also brought along three companions and whose face also shone brilliantly. After his encounter with God on Sinai, Moses' face shone so brightly that the people were frightened. And thereafter, whenever Moses went into the tent to consult the Lord, he had to wear a veil over his face when he came out. The Jews believed that Moses had been taken up in a cloud at the end of his earthly life. Elijah traveled for 40 days to Mount Horeb on the strength of the food brought by an angel. At Mount Horeb, Elijah sought refuge in a cave as the glory of the Lord passed over him. Finally, Elijah was taken directly to heaven in a chariot of fire without seeing death. These representatives of the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, foreshadowed Jesus, who is the culmination of the law and the prophets. Both earlier prophets were initially rejected by the people but vindicated by God. The Jews believed that the Lord had buried Moses in an unknown place after his death and that Elijah had been carried to heaven in a whirlwind. Thus, the implication is that although God spared Elijah from the normal process of death and Moses from normal burial, he did not spare his son from suffering and death. Peter, overwhelmed at the scene, exclaimed how good it was for them to be there. His remark about three booths or tents may be a reference to the Jewish festival of Sukkot, the most joyful of the Jewish days, when booths were erected in which the people dwelt during the time of the feast and from which all kinds of presents and sweets came. Or it may be a reference of reverence, alluding to tabernacles to house the patriarchs and the Son of God. In the Old Testament, the cloud covered the meeting tent, indicated the Lord's presence in the midst of his people, and came to rest upon the temple in Jerusalem at the time of his dedication. The book of Exodus describes how God spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai from the cloud. God often made appearances in a cloud. The Jews generally believed that the phenomenon of the cloud would be repeated when the Messiah arrived. God the Father, Moses, and Elijah approved the plan regarding Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. God's words from the cloud, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with him I am well pleased, listen to him," are the same words used by God at Jesus' baptism with the addition of "listen to him." At the moment of Jesus' death, a Roman centurion would declare, "Truly this man was the Son of God." These words summarize the meaning of the transfiguration, that on this mountain God revealed Jesus as his Son, his Beloved, the one in whom he is always well pleased and the one to whom we must listen. By the words, "This is my Son, listen to him," Jesus is not simply presented to the apostles as the Son of God, but as God's mouthpiece. The three transformations in our lives, in our journey towards eternity. The first change begins at baptism, which washes away original sin, transforming us into the children of God and heirs of heaven. The second transformation takes place through our victory over the trials and tribulations of life. Every challenge, every difficulty, every moment of suffering is an opportunity for transformation and spiritual growth. The third transformation takes place at death. Eternal life in heaven, perhaps after a period of further transformation in purgatory, is granted to those who have been found worthy. The last transformation or transfiguration will be completed at the second coming, when our glorified body is reunited with our soul.
You came down from heaven's throne. This earth you formed was not your home. A love like this the world had never known. A crown of thorns to mark your name. Forgiveness fell upon your face. A love like this the world had never
What messages for life do we get from today's liturgy? First of all, the transfiguration in the Holy Mass is the source of our strength. In each Holy Mass, the bread and wine we offer on the altar become transfigured or transformed into the living body and blood of the crucified, risen, and glorified Jesus. Just as Jesus' transfiguration strengthened the apostles in their time of trial, each Holy Mass should be a source of heavenly strength against temptations and our renewal during Lent. Secondly, each time we receive one of the sacraments, we are transformed. For example, baptism transforms us into sons and daughters of God and heirs of heaven. Confirmation makes us temples of the Holy Spirit and warriors of God. By the sacrament of reconciliation, God brings back the sinner to the path of holiness. Thirdly, the transfiguration of Jesus offers us a message of encouragement and hope. In moments of doubt and during our dark moments of despair and hopelessness, the thought of our own transfiguration in heaven will help us to reach out to God and to listen to his consoling words. "This is my beloved Son, share the glory of his transfiguration." Finally, we need mountaintop experiences in our lives. We share the mountaintop experience of Peter, James, and John when we spend extra time in prayer during Lent. Fasting for one day can help the body to store up spiritual energy. This spiritual energy can help us have thoughts that are far higher and nobler than our usual mundane thinking. Arthur Ashe, the legendary Afro-American Wimbledon player, was dying of cancer. He received letters from his fans worldwide, one of which read, "Why did God select you for such a dreadful disease?" Ashe replied, "The world over, 5 crore children start playing tennis. 50 lakhs learn the game. 5 lakh turn professionals. 50,000 come to the circuit. 5,000 reach Grand Slams. 50 reach Wimbledon, 4 to the semi-final, 2 to the finals. When I won the Wimbledon crown, I never asked God, why me? Today in pain, I shouldn't be asking God, why me? Wimbledon crown, cancer cross, that's Christianity. That is why Jesus reminds his 3 apostles about his death and resurrection immediately after his glorious transfiguration.